It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth. Premier League champions 2016, the amazing Leicester City.
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right, Ed. Good evening. How the devil are we all? And I make no apologies for still playing the FA Cup winning moment. 54 years it bloody well took us to win it. So I'm gonna enjoy it for as long as I'm alive, I'll tell you. And can I just say, thinking of the FA Cup, whoever is the marketing manager at Chelsea, hats off to you, sir. Hats off to you. The fact that you got a sponsor to match the number of times consecutively you have lost the FA Cup, 3. I just think it's totally, totally amazing. Well done,
sir. It's time for the Daily Leicester.
Leicester City FC, on this day in history, with Leicester Till I Die TV.
Guys, bear with me, because this is a bit of a Leicester thing and it's not a Leicester show tonight, but it happened late last night. And I just want to say there's a lot bad about football these days, and a lot of owners that buy clubs and don't commit to them, don't even turn up for them, to be honest with you. And I've just got to say, Top, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his surname. If I've had a drink or two, I might be able to pronounce it. But Koen Top, the chairman of Leicester City, last night at the annual awards, pledged to donate $1 million to Leicester Hospital's charity. I mean, he's donated so much over the years that it's hard to believe him and his dad and what they've done. And this is what they've done as owners. They've come in and they've not bought a club. Well, yes, they obviously have bought a club, but they've bought into the community. You know, the charity has come out and said it's another generous gift. Vishai, Top's dad before he died, donated $2 million to help build a new children's hospital. And now, on top of that, his son is donating £8 million. I mean, I just want to say we are blessed. And there's not enough words to say thank you for everything that family has done, not just for the club, not just for us supporters, bacon rolls on takeaway, on away days and drinks if we stay up, etc. They have just done so much for Leicester as an area. And I want to say thank you very much. This is a special relegation show. This is what it's all about. Two are down, one is still to join them. There is one slot left. Who is it going to be? You know, we've got a special on Sunday for the matches, but we go into this last weekend of the season with 10 games all kicking off at 4 o'clock, and I think it's 8 or even 9 games that in some way have a team that is involved in either battle for the championship, the European places, or relegation. I know Dan said, fuck off the neutrals, but from a neutral's point of view, it is, excuse me, absolutely amazing. We're just going to go through some comments, but if you can do what it says there, guys, subscribe. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube and you haven't already, we are slowly, slowly growing. So if you can subscribe, press that like button and make sure to click the notification bell. We have got a lot of specials coming up next week with quite one or two ex-players and reporters as well. So be sure to click that notification bell, then you won't miss me. And I know what you like when you miss me. You're not the same, are you? A few hellos before, like I say, I bring the guests in. Excuse me. Kate says, I'll join the party after I've showered, but remember to sub, guys. Thank you. Oh, now, there's a thought, isn't it, guys? Let's move on very, very quickly. West Ham Random, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Love it. Thank you. Talk MU, good morning. Good morning, good evening, good day, good afternoon, whatever it is, all. And don't forget to get over to Talk's new YouTube channel, Football Versus Cancer. Great channel. But it's all for the charity, not just men's cancer, but obviously all cancer. Be sure to get over there. And we all know somebody that's been affected by the big C. Dan couldn't wait to come in, but he said, well said, Chris. Cracking thing done by Koen Top with that donation, the People's Club. Yeah, mate, we should never forget what we owe to them. Spencer, evening, guys. We have the best owners in the world. And honestly, Spencer wouldn't argue with that. Andrew, the legacy goes on. Yes, it does. Oh, she's showered. No wonder Dan's smiling in the background. Oh, the time she's back. Andrew, can I say good luck to Sheffield United tonight? Yes, you can. Come on, Sheffield United. I know a lot of people want an East Midlands derby in the Premier League next season. Fuck off. Keep them down in the Championship where they belong. Because then they could be playing one of these three teams. We'll say good evening, first of all, to Elton. who is obviously a huge Everton fan, shall we say, and obviously those of us of a certain age know him from his time on television. Elton, good evening. Thank you for being patient and waiting.
No problem, Chris.
How are you feeling at the moment ahead of... You've got two games, haven't you? You've got a midweek game. And
as Fergie once put it so succinctly, it's squeaky bum time, isn't it?
It really is.
My
bum's squeaking and I've not got a horse in the race.
Well, I'm not confident about Thursday. I'm not. No. But I actually think Palace have been a very good attacking side with a lot of pace since Patrick Vieira took over from Roy Hodgson. I don't know what our back... I haven't got a clue what our back was going to be. I haven't got a clue who's fit and who's not, really. And obviously, Branthwaite, the young boy who was sent off against Brentford, he's not playing. Mina's not fit. Oh, he's not 100% fit. He never is, by the way. But
every club's got one of those, haven't they? But Elton,
it's a worrying. It's worrying.
It is. Close. Well, I said this next team about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I said they're safe. They're going to stay up. They're not going to go down. Good evening, Cole Leeds fan. How the devil are you? Proving me nothing about football yet again.
Listen, if you, 3-4 weeks ago we said Leeds are fine, and then all of a sudden everything has changed, and I don't know how it got to that point. We thought we were safe. Yeah, we had that poor performance against Watford, even though we won the game, but we thought we were safe. There was no chance we were going to be falling to this, but 3-4 games later, we lose, really. We've been battered by City, Chelsea, and then Arsenal at first, you know. And it's just all hell's broken loose. And to quite honestly, yeah, I just can't believe it. I'd be crazy as hell. And I'd be seeing my dad, he's more like original gangster, stone face. When I speak to my daddy, kind of, he's like, I'm not worried about that. So, I don't know. I think some of these fans.
Well, you've only got the one game left, so your bum is squeakier than Elton's.
I know it's more squeakier than Elton, right? But my God.
Yeah. For you, Elton here, Talk says, "Wow, Elton, you haven't changed."
Must be blind.
Specsavers, I think, comes to mind. I have fond memories of watching you with my dad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think that's a bit of a barbed compliment in a way, isn't it?
I
used to watch you with my dad. Dads and sons.
My birthday is less than 2 weeks away, Chris. I'm 71, so one's got to be realistic, you know?
You are doing good for 71. I wish I looked as good as you at my age now, which is 10 years younger, but I'll take it. But, talking about dads and sons, he's often been said that, you know, he was my son. If he was in the family, I'd have to argue that he's actually the milkman's, because our milkman was Ginger. Dan, good evening. Another club that I said, you know, ages ago, you were safe. You weren't going to get dragged in. And there you are.
Yeah. Really strange times. Really strange times. We came good at a good period. We had a good run of games. And then, as I say, sorry to bring it up, Elton, but, we managed to get the 3-2 over Everton. And I think our mindset changed after that, though. It was almost like we went into that Norwich game the week after thinking, right, that's it. This result's going to look after itself. And we went and got the one.
That was the result, wasn't it? That I think had everyone in football going, hey, up.
And then obviously Dash went the week after, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, as he's been for the last 10 years. So...
we're going to the managers in a second there, Dan. But Elton, I mean, I'd predicted that at some point when Burnley was safe, at some point I said Leeds would be safe. I actually said at one point Everton were going down, but you've turned it around the other way. You're the most likely to stay up, although you're still nervous, aren't you?
I think we will stay up. I do, but I don't know where it's coming from. We've got Arsenal away on Sunday. Now, I've seen Arsenal's last two games away from home, admittedly away from home, at Spurs and Newcastle, and they were an absolute disgrace in both games. And there's nothing for us to fear. But we could put it to bed by beating Palace on Thursday. Then it's between you two guys. You know, we're out of it if we beat Palace on Thursday. I hope we do. That goes without saying. I've got a funny feeling it might just be a point for us because, I say, we're in a little bit of disarray. We are. I mean, our crowd is just unbelievable. Our fan base is quite astonishing. I think you guys heard it when we went and won at the Walkers, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yes.
And we had, what, 6,000, was it? Something like that. And they just never stopped singing throughout.
Yeah. You had one away win all season. You turned up at the, you know, the KP, and as Dan would say, we rolled the carpet out for you and said, "Here you go, have three points."
I know what you're saying, but I mean, we went to Watford. We've been to Watford since, and we're the only team not to score in the Premier League at Vicarage Road. So that tells you it's not just a case of Leicester lying down on that occasion, although you weren't great.
No,
but it's us as well. You know, Watford, that was shambolic. Yeah. Not to win that game was ridiculous. The amount of possession we had, etc. And then, of course, we were bossing the game against Brentford. We were bossing it, and then, you know, young Branthwaite gets sent off after just 20 minutes. That's a hell of a long time to play with 10 men. And then in the second half, it got ridiculous because Brentford had 95% possession. Now, by definition, if you have that much possession, the likelihood is you're going to score a couple of times.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Of course.
Well, they also did. Brentford did change two of their defenders to bring two midfielders on and to change game, which was very, very, very Frank and Thomas Frank, and that's what he usually
did. Brilliant, man. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant work from the dugout, that. Absolutely brilliant. I was sitting here applauding, crying and applauding at the same time. I thought it was terrific.
Well, we've seen now, there, we've got your managers up there, and the three all relatively new to you managers, shall we say. We'll start with you, Carl, at Leeds. Bielsa, I understand why he had to go. I mean, I'm looking now at, you know, your goal difference is minus 38.
Yeah.
Burnley's is minus 18. Everton's is minus 20. I mean, that's like losing a point on its own. And we know that came from the big defeats earlier on in the season. But where did the idea that, and no disrespect to American coaches, but he's come over, no experience of the English game whatsoever, no experience of the Premier League. Was he the man that was ever going to keep you up?
It's a tough question because we all been debating about this quite a lot, actually. I think what the original plan was, and I think, and this is why you heard the chants on Sunday against Brighton, that they were set the board. There was a lot to blame on the board because the 49er Enterprises, majority of their executive, made the trip to Leeds for the first time. So they came on a Sunday, and I think they were hearing what was going on, and they'd been rumored to buy the club outright. But if we go back to Bielsa, I think one or two fans would have said, you know, Bielsa should have stayed, you know, and stuff. But I think Bielsa has got a bit of collectively along the board to be blamed of not getting the players in the summer that he wanted because he was so stubborn to change to get a few more to add the squad. Because let me tell you what happened. We lost three good players. Alioski, Hernandez, and I think there was one, and they were the two big key players we lost.
Are you on about that Alioski, that one?
Yeah, that Alioski, the one that bullied you lot last season. Yeah, so to be quite honest here, I mean, we replaced with two players for Firpo and Dan Gage has not been good. They've not been good enough. The chance has not been good enough. And I think Bielsa's got to have to take part of the blame as well because he should have done more to get placed because we should have known.
Two questions for you, Carl. First one is, have you sold the bucket yet?
Well, the bucket is gone. I think the bucket is not even still. The merchandise is now in the mall, from what I'm hearing. So I think that's kind of gone. I've
do you, and I'm going to ask this with the other guys as well, but do you wish that you still had Bielsa there? Would he be able to have kept you up?
I don't. It's a tough one. Mm. I think what some fans say, let's let him go down the way we should respect him. We don't care about the Premier League. We should just get relegated. He deserves it. He deserves it if it's his final season.
Yeah.
But when you have the board who have invested a lot of money in the last year or two of the players that we bought the last two years, then you have to question it. And I think you have to question what happened in January when we should have sat Bielsa before, but the board was too scared to do it. They had no cojones to sat Bielsa. They were too scared. And I think that program with against Newcastle and what Angus Kinney said in the match day program, that if we're buying players, it's gonna harness the players' development. When you have a player of a 15-year-old on the bench who is not even mentally not ready to compete for a relegation battle, and that's how bad it is. And going to Jesse March, and you know, Victor Ortega, who's been at Dutch football the last couple of years, he's been scouting for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think he has a lot to blame because he's the Dutch football. He should have he went to flipping Austria on the last day of the transfer window trying to get Brandon Aaronson from Salzburg. That never happened. It failed. The bid failed about 2-3 times. That's how bad there was no other priorities of trying to find alternatives. There were no alternatives, and that's how bad it was.
We'll take that as a no then. Yeah. Dan, I'll come to you. And then what I'll do is, after I've done with Elton, we'll bring each of you in sort of and keep two of you back and talk about your individual teams. But Dan, we said at the time Alan Pace was either the cleverest man in the world or the luckiest owner in the world. I get a bit confused because this guy's come in with a lot of money, allegedly, and yet every time I speak to you, you say, oh, he's looking for this new investment so he can spend money. Well, if he hasn't got the money to spend, why did he come in? And secondly, you know, was it the right decision? And only time will tell whether, you know, Dyche was going, is this the guy to keep you up?
Going to your first question, I mean, the Alan Pace situation, I was a bit wary when he first came in. I was sort of happy and, but had my doubts, if you get me. You know, I was happy with the fact that we was getting a penny pincher out off the board as a chairman. And we've got somebody in that really wants to be forward thinking and, you know, take the club further. For me, the only difference was that I didn't like the structure of the deal. It was, you know, it was through MLD Holdings or something. It was these structured deals that these owners now go through to get, you know, to get past the Premier League test and stuff. It's something for me personally, even though a leveraged buyout for me shouldn't be one of those things that should happen in football. You either have the money or you don't. But you know, we've seen other clubs in the Premier League do it. The Glazers did it with Manchester United. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to have that spending power, but they did that. You know, Southampton, half of the time they're borrowing money from this holdings company that we borrowed money from. So it's football. It's a risk or reward business. At the moment, it's a very big risk. You know, we stand to lose a substantial amount of money if we go down. We have to pay something off that we don't really have to pay until 2025. If we go straight down, we have to pay it up front. That's it. So it is almost a bit of a catch-22, and we'd have to see a lot of our first team players leave. That said, going on to the managerial appointment, it was, well, say appointment, interim coach. He's come in. He's, you know, the word freedom's been banded around quite often. Mm. You know, we keep seeing that freedom this, freedom that. He's given us the freedom to play. It's all well and good being given the freedom, but you've got to have the noir. Well, like where I think we do as a club compared to Leeds and Everton, we're a team that in the Premier League have been battling around that bottom half, around that bottom four, for season in, season out. Apart from a couple of years ago, we had a few like 10th place finishes and, you know, got lucky with Europe and stuff like that. But usually we are a team flirting around that bottom skirt of the league. And for me, that's another thing, as you said there to Carl, about the goal difference being a point, knowing that we know what we need to do to get out of this, knowing that we've been in this situation before, that for us is almost like an extra point because we know what we know what we need to do. Us, like Everton, have an extra game as well. And you know what? Fair play to Mark Jackson. He's come in. He's done really, really well.
Would you want Dyche there now, or are you happy with?
It's very Jackson. Similar to Carl's answer. Very similar to Carl's answer. It's a struggle to answer because you don't know what's gone on behind the scenes. You know, people were saying there was some player involved.
But would you, as a fan, who would you sooner have in that position now? Going into this week, you got two games. As a fan, would you want Dyche or would you want Jackson?
The way things are going at the moment, I'd take Jackson, but just because things were starting to go stale under Dyche.
I suppose at least with Michael Jackson, you know he can beat it. Anyway.
True. Hey. We're in for a thriller on Sunday, though, Chris.
Hey, too good. Elton, Everton. Yeah. I know you don't want Benitez there, so I won't even bother asking you that.
There's no point in going there at all.
No, Chris. No.
My language will deteriorate.
I mean, this isn't just this season, is it? We know we've chatted before, it's been slowly, it's been like a leaking pipe. It's slowly got worse and worse, and more water's been coming out. The appointment of Lampard. I mean, were you surprised? Was he the man that, you know, were the fans happy with it?
Well, they were happy with Frank because there were no viable alternatives. There was a short list of three once Benitez got sacked. This Portuguese guy, Pereira, who would have been a disaster, his track record, it's terrible. And there was Duncan Ferguson. He was never going to get it. Never. So I think everyone was kind of delighted that it was Frank, but I think if we'd have had a greater choice, I don't think Evertonians would have complained at that either. But Frank has done more than anything, he's really bought in to the club. It's like he's an Evertonian in a very short space of time, and he has been blown away by the fans. I mean, you must have heard of the fireworks going off in the hotel before the Chelsea game, to keep Chelsea awake during the night, and then the marvellous welcomes they've had at Goodison prior to the games against Chelsea and Brentford. Absolutely breathtaking. The players can't believe it. They're taking videos on their camera phones inside the coach and sending them to friends and family. Saying, just look at this. This is quite unbelievable. He's not one of these managers. He's been there for 6 months, less than that. And he's getting paid very, very well. And say, well, I'm not that bothered. You know, on a personal level, I'm not that bothered. Of course, I want to do well professionally and for the club that I'm now employs me. But, you know, deep down, I don't really care. He does. He really does care. The fan base, the support that the club has got has been, you know, overwhelming. It really has. In my 60 years of watching Everton, I tell you, I've never known the fan base quite like this.
No,
it's a bit of a siege mentality for sure, but it's solidarity as well. It's unity. Everyone believes that if the fans do what they've been doing and continue to do so, we will be fine. I kind of go along with that. But I think we might get a point against Palace. There's every chance we'll get a point at Arsenal because they must be the most dispirited team in the Premier League at the moment. In fact, if we went and won at the Emirates...
Two questions about your managerial position, though. First one, Big Sam... Was he an option at all?
No.
Or would you have not entertained him?
Personally, in the situation we were in, as long as it was for 6 months and 6 months only until January to the end of the season, if they'd have said Big Sam and then Frank will come in and rebuild during the summer, I'd have said, yeah, that makes sense.
And as somebody's just put there, I mean, Duncan Ferguson, bless him, he's stepped into the shit more often than a drunk man walking through a field of cows. But does he not want it?
I've been there.
Yeah, haven't we all? Haven't we all? That was the last time that I got a pat on the back, bum bum. But I mean, Elton did. I mean, does he not want it permanently? I mean,
oh, but Duncan. Oh, yeah. He'd love it to be named Everton manager. He's a blue through and through. He's got tats all, you know, all over him, Everton.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not ready. It's like if you gave it to Duncan, no managerial experience apart from being a caretaker for a handful of games. Mm. That you don't throw someone like that into a relegation situation. And also, you could say the same for Frank. I mean, he did reasonable. Might have got Derby promoted from the Championship. In his first managerial appointment, but then he went to Chelsea far too soon. Mm. He wasn't ready, but he couldn't turn it down. It's the same applies to, was Wayne Rooney seriously considered for the job in January? Well, he might well have been. He might have been. And he was approached, even though he says he wasn't. But he was approached. But it was just, how would you feel if, and he said, well, I've got a job. I'm going to commit to being manager of Derby County until they don't want me anymore. I thought that was very, very honourable. But had he come to Everton in that situation, I think it would have been too much too soon, as it was with Frank at Chelsea.
Yeah. It's all ifs, buts and maybes, of course, isn't it? So what I'm going to do is, like I say, Dan and Elton, I'll put you in the back room. So if you want to have a wee, get a drink, have a fag, whatever, go and have one. And we're going to concentrate on Leeds just for 5 minutes. So let me...
Chris, when does the boxing match kick off when we all come back in and fire punches at each other? When's all that happening?
I dare leave the three of you in together. Do you know what I mean? Be like three naughty children when the teacher goes out.
Like that. I like that. If we're going to have a sort of punchy argument, I know who's going to win that one.
I don't see what. If you actually had a punchy fight up, my money's on call.
I'll give you that.
You probably someone who had more than six schools at school, and that's me. So I have history, okay?
Right, guys, I'll bring you back in later.
I want to hear what they say. So
yeah, you'll still hear what they say.
I'm just going to make a quick coffee and then come back and listen.
No problem. Oh, Leeds United. I mean, you gave yourself that last minute goal at the weekend. You gave yourself such a lifeline there. It was unbelievable. I like Leeds fans, to be honest with you. I know sort of during the 70s, a lot of Leeds, you know, everybody wanted to hate Leeds, but that was Leeds then. But I think a lot of people forget. You know, in Don Revie's time, you were sort of the Man United of your day, and all credited. But what I like about you Leeds fans is, because of course we met you when we were both down in the third tier, so we've both been down there, we both suffered together, but there's been none of this like we're back where we belong sort of attitude that you've got with like Arsenal and Man United. You know, we should be in the Champions League because we are Arsenal. No, you bloody shouldn't. You're shit and you're not going to get in. The Leeds fans have just said, it's great to be back.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That's what the mentality we had for 16 years. It's great to be back and we were waiting for such a long, long time. You know, and so
he's a shit stirrer, is Dan. I'll tell you,
I know he's a shit stirrer. I love him to death. He's my guy. Listen, I like, you know, I love him to death, you know. But I think we're down to the third tier, we still had the highest amount of fans, wave fans going to every single. I think we took about over nearly 2,000 to 3,000 fans to every single game while we were in the third tier. So there's a huge difference why there's a huge following. You know, but I said to this now, you saw the fans were still cheering when we were at Arsenal, no matter what, it was still atmosphere until that pie, obviously, because we even had a shot target too, and then we had the first corner and so forth. So, you know, but the fans have been there together, and despite what's been happening this season, the fans have been there left, right, centre, and that's what we have had to do. And you know,
that's what you can ask for, isn't it? Really, I mean, this is what the press are saying about. Well, say the press, what Sky is saying about Leeds. Leeds remain favourites for relegation, but their situation would have been far worse had Pascal not struck a late equaliser to lift them out the bottom three against Brighton in the 1-1 draw. That point could prove crucial, but their fate is out of their hands as Burnley's Everton both have a game in hand, which are both due to play on Thursday. Yeah. And I guess on Thursday, you are going to be glued to the telly, aren't you?
Very much so, yeah, I've been glued to the telly. And do you know what? It's a huge game that we're not involved in until Sunday, and I think I tell you, my I was crazy on Sunday before we equalised. I thought my mind was going everywhere, and I said to my dad the other day, like last week, Dad, I'm done with Leeds. It was just mentality thinking, I can't cope with this. And then I think after getting that point on Sunday was very huge, and like I say, it's out of our hands now. We've got to see what.
Yeah.
Burnley and Everton do on Thursday. That's the most
critical. Well, I think looking at that, I mean, Everton, Crystal Palace, Everton are actually at home. And I've got to say what Elton has said on a few occasions when we've chatted, is that at home, they are a completely different animal. They are absolutely. That crowd, you know, they say about that crowd at Newcastle and St James's Park, but that crowd at Everton, and I was surprised. They came out fighting against us in the away game. It was only the second win all season. But credit to Everton. I say, and they're at home, and I think that should be a worry. Burnley, and Dan's going to probably kill me for this, he's away to Villa. That one, I think, might be your saving grace.
It's going to be, because you see a Villa looking going to be more of a circuit next season, you know, getting Coutinho on a permanent deal now, which is good. You know how he's been back in the Premier League. I think Gerrard is stamping his foot now, thinking, well, we want to finish betting this. I want to start betting next season, because they now he's got the full backing of what the transfer is. And I think with Brentford, how Brentford went to that game against Everton on Sunday was surprisable, because we didn't think, you know, with Everton going out to 10 men after 20 minutes, that was very, really unfortunate. Thinking this could change the game, you know. And Brentford, I'm thinking Brentford's on a holiday, but Brentford's still fighting for something. They want to still finish where they want to be in the highest position since in their debut season. So we have to be catching Brentford on their eye this Sunday, because they are going to be difficult. And we've got someone like a former player like Pontus Janssen, who has been really decent this season for Brentford. He's gonna have to play for the club that he don't want to relegate against. So he's gonna have to do his job, which I understand. But I think in his heart, he doesn't want Leeds to go down. He's thinking, right, well,
the worrying thing for you though, Carl, I'm not gonna lie, the worrying thing is that Brentford are third in the form table.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've got 39% win ratio at home, 32 away. Yourself. And this is based on the last six games. Leeds are in 16th. And away from home, well, to be honest with you, again, you're pretty even. 21% win rate at home, 22 away. But I think if it was at Elland Road, you'd probably be feeling a bit more confident.
Probably, yeah. Well, I would say a little bit more confident, yes. I would, to be honest with you, agree with you. But I think for this Sunday, we're going out to West London. I think we're going to have a lot of fans there, and I think it will blow up the atmosphere, the Brentford fans completely. I think that will be a huge difference. If we can get very vocal, I think it's more like a home, even though we're down in London. So I think that's what we need to do from the first minute goal. So, yeah, it's huge. It's really huge. If we were playing at home,
those early season losses, we touched on it before. I mean, you had a couple of big losses at the start. That's what's going to probably come back and bite you on the bum.
Yeah, it will do. I think I think it was a game against Brentford as well. We were at home, we drew 2-2, and it was so bad. And then we didn't get our first win until it was against Watford. And that was our first win after a couple of games. And we were bitten the relegation at the time until we got out of it. I think those results against Everton and West Ham, where we should have got something out of those games, because Everton, we were all over the place. We were 2-0 down, actually, as I remember. We had scored two goals. Stuff like that, it's now and never, that will caught the attention. I think that first game against Manchester United, when Bielsa told Phillips you're not playing because he was two pounds overweight. And I'm like, Phillips looks fine.
To be honest with you, what I would give to be only 2 pounds overweight, I tell you.
I know. And that's what baffled me. I think you can see Bielsa's just playing and saying, no, Calvin, you're not playing because, yes, you've been in England duty, but you're 2 pounds overweight. I'm thinking, well, can you not have time for a decent break? He played for every single game to all the way to the final. And then he didn't play him. And then we didn't get a replacement for Forshaw, who's been injured for the last 2 years. It just sums everything up. That first game against United, we were so open. We were very much open.
Yeah. Jordy, welcome along. And he says he's just pleased he's not in the scrap, especially as they play Burnley on the last day. Well, at the start of the season, we all thought you would be, Jordy, but you have turned it around amazingly.
No. Let me say, give huge props to Newcastle. What Eddie Howe's done, it's done a great job. And bringing players like Bruno Guimarães, Dan Burn, there have been a difference in that team. I'm going to give him credit for that.
They have. They've turned it around. Carl, thank you very much. We'll come back to you at the end, but we'll move on to Everton now. And welcome back, Elton. Let's see what Sky was saying about Everton. Everton remain 16th, but only 2 points outside the relegation zone. But still, and this is the important thing, I believe, you still got your fate in your own hands too. They know 3 points from the remaining two fixtures at home to Crystal Palace on Thursday and away at Arsenal on Sunday will be enough for survival. Two draws will all but secure their safety too, barring no miraculous mathematical goal swing from Leeds. Sorry, Carl, but I can't see Leeds winning against Brentford 37-0. they've got a worse goal difference than Everton have. I mean, Elton, you know, you've got two games to keep yourself up. As an Everton fan, did you ever think that you would see this moment?
No. As you said earlier, it's been a drip, hasn't it? And as you said right at the start of your programme, how you praise your owners, would you like to swap?
No, thank you. No, that's a
we've got a dickhead in charge who knows nothing about football. The only person he listens to is this agent fella, his mate, who persuaded him to appoint Benitez, when Bill Kenwright, the chairman, said, don't do that, you'll alienate the fan base, you know? But he did. He's an idiot. Yes, people are, well, he spent £500 million on players. Yeah, well, he has, and he hasn't. He sanctioned it. It's not coming out of his personal account. But he has sanctioned what the director of football, maybe past managers, have suggested about players, and he's gone along with it because he's not a sort of football person. So basically, he is accountable. He is accountable for the mess that we're in. He's just not good enough. So I mean, we need an owner like yours. I say it like yours, but even richer, you know.
Yes,
we need a
sheet. We're between the down in the deep blue sea, great owners, but obviously haven't got the money of the Man Cities and the Newcastles now. But yeah, we love them to bits, obviously. And there's always that worry when you get taken over, especially having seen what happened when Mandrich left Portsmouth. Just a bit, but it's worked out fantastic. But when I was looking at this, Mashiri, he's a British Iranian businessman. But he's a major shareholder.
He's an accountant.
I don't know if this is true, though. It said he's a shareholder of USM, which is the Russian holding company.
That's Usmanov's company.
Yeah. Should he not be in the same position as Abramovich?
No. I wouldn't go that far, but it's certainly weakened him in many respects, and certainly financially. Usmanov, of course, he's... Our Finch Farm is USM Finch Farm, isn't it? Mm. You know, Usmanov's company. So we've got a problem there. I'm not sure whether the government are even aware of it. But it's not as high profile as Abramovich owning Chelsea. No. It's not.
No.
But the hope was that eventually Usmanov would sell his... I'm going back now to way before the war. That eventually Usmanov would get totally fed up with his situation at Arsenal, sell, and then put all his financial clout into Everton, along with Mashiri. That would have made us very, very powerful in the market.
Mm.
But that ain't going to happen now. Yeah. There's no chance that will happen. So we need to be looking elsewhere. I know for a fact there is a consortium being put together because an ex-Everton employee, I can't name names.
No, of course you can't. We'll just make you tell you.
Yeah, an ex-Everton employee is sort of trying to pull it all together. Now, whether he does or not, I don't know.
No.
And whether Mashiri has been contacted at all to say, listen, if the offer is right, would you? I don't know that either. Because nobody, the only person Mashiri talks to is Jim White, you know, and that's only in text form. So yes, no one really knows what Mashiri's thinking.
No. Two remaining fixtures there, as you can see. Excuse me. Win both of those and you are safe. I mean, home to Crystal Palace.
Hang on a minute. Win one. We beat Brentford. We are safe. The way I think that a lot of Evertonians are looking at it now, and with apologies, Carl, before I even say, if we lose on Thursday and we lose at Arsenal on Sunday, a point for Leeds at Brentford would not be good enough because of the goal difference.
Mm. Well,
I think in the back of our minds we've got that, you know, to maybe fall back on. But it's no, I don't put Burnley in this. I think it's going to be us or Leeds.
Well, I can really see you getting because it's at home, and as I said earlier, I have from what I've been watching and your fans, you know, at the KP. The support is amazing, and I'm not saying that the support for Leeds or the support for Burnley isn't, but the atmosphere that I've been seeing with Everton fans, the fact that that's at home, I've got a prediction show at 9 o'clock tonight, and I'll be going for an Everton win for that game. The Arsenal one, I'm not so sure about.
I would love to agree with you, but it's just that I don't know what our team's going to be. In fact, I don't have a clue.
Mm.
For example, our brightest spark since January has been Anthony Gordon, super young player. He is knackered. We need him, but if he were to be left out on Thursday, would I be surprised? No, I wouldn't, because he's almost had the weight of it on his shoulders up until a month ago, you know, six weeks ago. Richarlison has been Herculean in his play, and the one I never ever thought I'd be saying this, but the guy who's sweated blood for Everton is Alex Iwobi. He has been absolutely terrific. He doesn't create a lot. His last ball in around the penalty area is poor, but in terms of work rate, closing down and stopping the other team playing, he has been outstanding.
Dan says here, Anthony Gordon, like Steve Lyonnick, great at synchronized swimming.
Oh, well, yeah, he's been coached in that by Richarlison. I can see them on the training ground at Finch Farm, you know, sort of Gordon gets tackled in training, and Richarlison goes, no, you don't go down like that. You go down, holding your legs, screaming, and you roll over twice. Yeah. Now, if it's very minimal contact, you roll over three times. That'll convince the referee.
I think that was a bit said through gritted teeth from down there.
I think it's funny. No, I'm serious. I was thinking of writing a sketch about it, you know.
Elton, thank you very much. We'll bring you back in at the end. But let us move on to the third team in this triplet. Burnley now. Burnley FC. I mean, people will know, or people that know me and have been listening to me for long enough will know the links I've got with Burnley. All my kids were born there, etc. And there's always been a bit of a, in my mind, a bit of a rivalry, not in many other people's minds, but in my mind, there's always been the rivalry when we're both in the Championship for years. As long as we finished above Burnley, I was happy because I couldn't take going into work the next morning and we weren't. Dan, I mean, great old club Burnley, you know, been around for years, did well to get into the Premier League. One of those clubs when they came up that I always say, you know, like if Luton, I mean, Luton are out of it now, but you know, if they'd have come up from the playoffs this season, I would love it. You established yourself. You got into Europe. You went down. I don't think you had, your squad was big enough to take the Premier League and the European at the game down at the same time. You went down. You kept hold of your manager. You came back up. Last season should have been red lights flashing all over the place and alarms going off. You just stayed up. I thought when I saw that you'd had those couple of wins under Dyche that you were going to stay up, and I said to you, yeah, I think you could if you play like that. But then you didn't. You kind of pressed the self-destruct button. You went and lost games again. You sacked your manager. You won a few games. Now you lost a couple. It's like a bloody pantomime at Burnley this season, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to start with basically just a sense of realism. Don't get me wrong. Whatever happens come Sunday, whether we stay up or go down, as a Burnley fan, you have got to be happy with what you have seen from this football club. Mm-hmm. Never in my lifetime did I think I would see Burnley in the Premier League. We are such a shitty little town.
I've lived there, I'll agree.
With barely a pot to piss in. And yet, we have punched so far above our weight. Hmm. And we've managed to stay in there amongst the big cities. And as a little plucky northern club, we have done, you know, remarkably well, in my opinion. And if it is to end on Sunday, you know, what will be, will be. But what we've got is grit, determination, a squad that will fight for each other till the end. And we've seen that season in, season out. It's just been one of them seasons where we've seen it every year. Burnley start a season poorly, then the second half of the season, they save themselves by the skin of the teeth. This season, it's been a bit of a longer slog. And it's been harder to get those wins. The league's changed. The football's adapted. And it's been difficult for us. It has. But, you know, this the amount of draws we've had this season. I mean, 13 draws is ridiculous.
That was what could cost you at the end of the day.
It is. And Dash said it halfway through the season. He said, this is the fine margin. That word, it bugged me when Dash were here. Fan margins. It's one of them things, though, but he did have a point that you've got to turn those draws into wins and you've got to see games out. Recently, we've done very well going forward. We've been more of an attacking force. We've had a lot more possession of the ball. We've been having chances. But we're just not clinical enough. And there's a good chance that's what's going to bite us in the arse.
I mean, Sky say there, despite losing to Tottenham 1-0, and we'll come on to that in a second, Burnley know the job they have to do is getting to 38 points from their final two games. We'll all but get them safe. This means 4 points from their final two games, away at Villa on Thursday and at home to Newcastle on Sunday, will be enough. Any slips will open the door for Leeds. I'm just looking at your last five games here, Dan. I mean, let's take your last five games. You beat Southampton 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
You beat Wolves, which was a good result, 1-0. You beat Watford, which was a desperate win for you, 2-1. Although, I'm saying we've just stuffed them 5-1, so it's boggled. But then you go to lose to Villa in what, you know, I did the watch along with you. It was dire. It really was. And you'll agree on that. And then obviously it was Tottenham, which was debatable whether that should have been a loss or not at the weekend. So again, to me, that's been your tale of the last few months. It's win, 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 lose, lose. You never keep that momentum going.
No, I agree. We've struggled. We have struggled. I thought last season, going back to the thing you said at the beginning, that we've been a team who, for me, last year, we weren't good enough. Mm. And I personally put it on that there's no fans there.
Kudos to you, babe.
there's no fans there, you know, COVID restricted it, fans being back in stadiums and things like that. So for me, I thought, right, Burnley is a small club that need that 12th man, you know, belting out the chants, making sure that the team get over the line, that even after a goal down and clapping their hands out and singing, come on, trying to G the players up. We always get behind the players, no matter what the situation, whether we're 1-0 down, 2-0 down, 3-0 down, we still get behind them. Mm-hmm. It's just that at that point, missing that, I thought this year, fans being back, you know, bums on seats, would be, you know, a catalyst to push for a comfortable mid-table mm-hmm. position. And I was wrong.
you should never say that about the fans, because I always remember when I lived in Burnley, I don't know what you were protesting against, but you all paid to get into the ground and then turned your back on the pitch, which I...
it wasn't the Casper Teasdale days, were it?
It probably was. It probably was, to be honest with you. Kate says she's growing into football this season. It's been like watching a daughter grow and progress.
Everything she comes out of, she's turning into a little fart. I love it.
I actually think she played well against Spurs. I think you did watch the highlights, but it's not enough coming away with no points. And by God, Dan, I've never known your partner agree with you so much. I agree with you again.
No, can I have a copy of this, Chris, at the end?
Yeah, I'll send you a copy of this. Just this bit. Kate Musgrove says, I agree with you again, Dan. There you go. You can clip that. You can clip that and save it. Looking at your games, I think you've got the hardest of the three, to be honest with you. I know, you know, Brentford are no pushover at the moment, but you've got Villa and Newcastle, who are both on a bit of a run. I mean, you are actually, based on your last six games, because before those five we talked about, you actually drew a game, but you are actually sat in eighth place in the form table based on your last six games. You are above at Villa, who are down in 13th. And Villa are, you're away to Villa. So Villa at home have got a 33% win rate, although it's 39 away from home. And Newcastle, I think that could be a saving grace, the fact that you're at Turf Moor on the last day.
Yeah, I mean, bring it back to that Spurs game. I mean,
Newcastle still in fourth, by the way, sorry, on the form guide.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've only got a 22% win rate away from home, so...
Spurs didn't deserve anything in that game. Apart from the first 10 minutes, they give us a good scare, but nothing in terms of chances. The penalty decision was dubious. Would we have got it at the other end? In such a big clash where they're on the hunt for top four and we're on the hunt for trying to be safe, would we bollocked? Wouldn't have got it. Wouldn't have got
Sorry,
it.
Oh, I'm not laughing at you, Dan.
I do
Dan.
Not blame you, Del Boy. I do not
I'm
blame
not,
you.
I'm not, no. Well, apparently they had to open the Thames flood barrier again because of all the Arsenal tears. Sorry, Dan. Yeah, Sorry, Del Boy. Welcome along.
We didn't deserve to lose that game. The referee should have realised how important that match was for both clubs. And I understand decisions are there to be made, but there's a push in the back on Ashley Barnes prior to that. So he's then having to try and steady himself. The ball, when it is hit by Ryan Sessegnon, is in close proximity. So he doesn't have enough chance between having to adjust himself from being pulled and pushed to the ball hitting him. And then as soon as he went over to the screen, you just know that it's going to get given. And it's a bitter pill to swallow, but you know, we've got to go into this game now. Villa, okay, we got beat 3-1. But that said, Villa may look at this game and think, okay, well, we beat them comfortably last time. And they might take their foot off the gas. Now, I'm not saying they will, but there is that hope that they might think that, oh, well, this should be another walk in the park. And they might take their foot off a little bit. But you are spot on. That Newcastle game, last game of the season, as Jody said earlier, you know, he'd rather chuck the game. He'd rather chuck the game and keep Burnley up, which, you know what, if I wish he was Newcastle manager.
Kevin Keegan, I love it. I love it. Carl was shaking his head then at those comments about the penalty call.
Listen, I know in the old rules it would not consider the penalty. I get that. I understand that. And yeah, you got to go. But the law was there, the law of states. I know it may be the brush, okay? But if it was in the natural position, yeah. But then again,
it's top half of the arm, which apparently is not classed as a penalty these days as well.
We're even on the end of that this season.
But we don't know if we couldn't see it probably was it brushing the arm because it was kind of hard. But it was kind of more, it could have been better kind of position thinking, oh, it's top of the arm, we're not penalty. Because it was so 50-50, like somewhere it was in the middle, it was kind of like a, it's referee's decision. It's like, right. And I'm like, in the end, it was a penalty. It was good for us, for me as a Leaf fan, because we thought, oh my God, if they win today and get a point, we're out of this,
I'll put it one way, Carl. That day, to be sat there, that happened against you, and you're thinking the least you deserved was a point out of that game.
Yeah.
Then you watch Leeds-Brighton, and you're just like, Danny Welbeck should have had an hat trick. I don't understand how he didn't. And then the dying minutes, you go and get that. And, oh, honestly, you know these cartoons where your face just goes red and smoke comes out?
Yeah.
It was one of them moments.
Before we end up with a Burnley Leeds loving, Spencer's just said, of course, if Liverpool lose tonight, the title is all Manchester City's.
Currently,
it's 1-0 to Southampton after 13 minutes.
Liverpool
are winning. Redmond scored after 13 minutes. So that is...
Liverpool... Oh. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah.
Just to say, Liverpool got half a team out. I mean, really.
Well, it is. They should probably still have too much for Southampton, you would think, anyway, but...
Well, yeah, but even still, when I saw the Liverpool lineup, I thought, hey, up, this isn't straightforward.
No, you didn't know.
Carl will appreciate it. I keep saying, hey, up.
I looked at that squad, I thought, that's champion, man.
I mean, look, it sounds like it's a very good goal as well from Redmond, Nathan Redmond, but maybe Liverpool have really put all their eggs in the basket. And then, Liverpool can't lose today. We were in my show on Saturday. on Sunday. Guys, this is what the bookies have to say. This was as of 5:30 p.m. or 5:45 last night with Sky Bet. And as I say, with any betting, when the fun stops, stop.
I think I might have a fiver on Everton at 8-1 there.
Yeah, well, Everton, I think it's looking at the positions in the Premier League at the moment. Our favourites to stay up at that.
Yeah, but the difference between 4-6, 6-4, and 8-1, that suggests that they feel that, you know, we are going to walk all over Palace on Thursday. I don't think so.
I just think you will. I've got to be honest with you. That I think because of it's at your place. I just think it's a good.
That is the most important ingredient of the game on Thursday is that it is at Goodison. And believe me, if you thought you'd heard noise from our fans beforehand, prior to Thursday, you will not have heard anything. That it will be a cauldron in there and outside. And I would think that the Palace will be staying overnight. I would think the old fireworks will be going off.
For what I heard, they're not staying overnight after what happened to Chelsea. I think they're flying on tomorrow on the day. So I think they're trying not to do what Chelsea did, get woken at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So I think that's why I could look at it.
Yeah, it's all part of football, isn't it?
Working at the Premier Inn.
I'll tell you what. One thing. There's one thing I wanted to say on the show, and I know we must be close to running out of time. Just let me say this one thing. You're talking about Everton, and Chris, you're confident we'll win. I have got a major problem that we can't pass the ball at the moment properly because we don't get possession. We certainly didn't in the second half against Brentford. After 85 minutes against Brentford, our bloke Doucouré, who to me is like Carlton Palmer on Prozac, he got the ball inside our half. No pressure on him. He wasn't being closed down or pressed at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned with all the time in the world to pick a pass out to somebody because everybody else was in forward position. We're chasing the game. What does he do? Any idea?
Probably not what you wanted him to.
Not a trick. No, what he did was he passed it back to our goalkeeper for him to have a go. Pickford had come forward. He was only about 20 yards slightly at an angle to Doucouré, and Doucouré gave it to him to pick out the pass. We have a midfielder there who doesn't have the confidence to pass the ball forward to an attacking player. He gives it to our goalkeeper. I didn't know whether to laugh or whatever. I seriously didn't. The gallows humour came into play yet again.
Well, and can I just say...
I'm watching it with my grandson, and he's what's up, granddad? I said, we've got a midfield player who's just passed it to our goalkeeper backwards, sideways, if you like, to pick out a killer pass. It's nonsense. It's some Everton.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain this year. But
I know more about Everton than you do, Chris.
Yeah.
And your confidence
of course you do.
Is built purely on what the atmosphere is going to be like on Thursday. It is going to be fantastic. But if the guys on the pitch can't pass to their mates, then
I feel your pain because we've been a lot like that ourselves as well. Liverpool have had a goal disallowed. And talking about humour, football humour, I love this. Somebody has just texted into the BBC, now then, after the Southampton goal. And apparently it's from a Pep in Manchester. It's from a Pep in Manchester, apparently.
All right. Don't be too many of them.
Elton, what I can say to all of you is good luck. We will, it's going to be an interesting weekend for the rest of us. Just make sure that you've got plenty of toilet roll in the house. And exactly.
I think we're okay. I think we're okay. Carl, I'm sorry to have to say it. I can't see you getting a win at Brentford, which is basically what you need. As for Dan, you will beat Newcastle on Sunday. They had their cup final. They had their cup final against Arsenal.
Hmm.
That was the end of their season. They're just turning up. They're just making up the numbers at Turf Moor. You will win that.
I bloody well hope so.
You heard it here first. Elton, thank you so much for popping on, as always, for giving up your time and coming on.
No problem.
It's been a pleasure. I think you'll stay up, so definitely we'll be speaking again next season.
That's good.
Cheers, mate. Have a good one. Stay safe and all the best.
Yeah, cheers. Dan, Carl, thank you. Bye.
Take it easy, Elton.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Ta-da.
Amazing guy, Elton. You youngsters, too young to know, but it's great that he gives his time up, comes on here, says it as it is in fairness. He calls a spade, and it's how it should be. But, and I think he's going to be safe. Carl, I can say I would have loved you to have stayed up, but there's always a but, isn't there?
There's always a but.
In a way, I haven't got a horse in the race, like I say, so it doesn't. But if not, I'm sure. I don't know if Jesse Marsh is the man to bring you back up if you do go down. But We will see. But all the best and good luck on Sunday. Give a shout out to your socials. They are listed in the YouTube links in the YouTube description below. But please tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, you guys can find me at KyleLevy92 on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at KLHoods92 and HUDDS, because I was born in Huddersfield. And you can find our channel on the LH Football Pod on Twitter, also on YouTube at the Totally Levy and Horn Football channel, as well as on Facebook and on the podcast streaming services such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and other platform services.
Indeed. And at 4 o'clock on Sunday, you'll find him behind the sofa.
Well, yeah, it's either the sofa with loads of drink. So just in case we stay up or go down, well, there will be a bit of a party. Either sad or happy party.
Good luck, mate, and all the best, as I'm saying to all of you. We may or may not be speaking next season. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we'll see then. I'm just going to be like my dad. It's gonna be just stand the patience, just let everything happen. So,
as all the Arsenal fans say, trust the process, mate.
Carl, when we're live on that final day, going into them dying minutes, you watching that Brentford Leeds game, me watching Burnley Nuke. Honestly, I'm gonna be on pins, mate.
You're not gonna know on here. We're all gonna be on pins. That's how bad it is.
I tell you what, I might just not do my show and come and watch you two sweat. I'll tell you. All the best, Carl, mate. Good luck. And speak to you soon. Easy,
pal.
Cheers.
Yeah, bye.
And then there was two. Daniel. Whichever way, I mean, if you do go down, I'm doing a championship show next season, so you'd be welcome on that. You're back at 9 o'clock.
At the end of August.
Yeah, I've got you penciled in for it, don't you know? I don't pen it in just in case, but you're going to be back at 9 o'clock, standing in for Steve, Mr. Steve Lynick, big boots to fill. And but where can people find you exactly?
They can find me at Turf Morehouse on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, and all that jazz. As I say, all you got to do is search Turf Morehouse on all your social media platforms and you'll find us on there. We are on podcast platforms as well, Spotify, Google and Apple. So if you think this is a face for radio, please do go check us out on that as well.
I was saying before about fan humour. I love it. And Tom, who is a Saints fan, has just texted into the BBC saying, well, at least it won't be 9-0 now. No, but you're facing Leicester on Sunday, mate. So what can I say? History. Dan, thank you so much. As I said to the other two, good luck, mate.
Oh, we're going to need it.
Yeah. Leeds are favourites, but, you know, fingers crossed for you all. Take care, and I'll see you back here in 45 minutes.
You certainly will. Take care, cheers, everyone. Thanks.
Take care. Thanks a lot. Good luck to them all. It's nice not to have a horse in the race, but it's going to be squeaky bum time for them. And let's face it, guys, we've all been there. We've been up and down. We've won the Premier League. We've won the second tier trophy the most times, along with Manchester City. That also means we've been relegated the most times. So we know their pain. Please do what it says there and subscribe if you can on YouTube. That would be great. All you need to do is just touch your little button and there's so much going on. Yeah, that's all we want you to do is just to subscribe if you can. What's coming up? Well, like I say, we have got tonight at 9 o'clock, we have got the prediction show. It's the last one. All I can say is if you think Manchester City Liverpool is tight, come along and see the Brad Perkis versus Chris. Oh, there's a goal. And it's 1-1. Minamino has equalised for Liverpool. Oh, it's back on. It is back on, but a draw won't be good enough for Liverpool. They need to get the win to be sure of standing a better chance on the last day. So, yeah, tonight we've got this. We have got the preview and prediction show. That's at 9 o'clock with Brad and Dan. We've got the preview show for our Chelsea game on Wednesday with Ankit and obviously Craig. We've got the week after next, YouTube only, guys. If you're not on YouTube, you won't be able to watch it. The Jerry Taggart giving us what he thinks of Leicester City season. And then on the last day, we got the Soccer Sunday final day watch along. Three people in watching the title of battle, the fight for Europe and the scrap for survival. It's all going to get very interesting and very, 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 very squeaky bum. I will see you back here at 9 o'clock. Thanks very much. Thanks to the guys. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to Elton. Thanks to Carl. And thanks to everybody that is joined in the chat. And if you've been listening to this on your favorite podcast platform, whatever that may be, thank you very much for doing that as well. I know I haven't got a face for radio, but you can still listen to me if you want to. See you at 9. Good night now.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.